A video trailer for the recently published book boldly promises your adventure awaits. The collection of short stories, Arcanum Draconis, Tales from the Violet Thorn, builds on characters and plot lines set in the world of Draconis, a live-action role-playing game. Think Dungeons & Dragons come to life. But the players in this shared-world game aren't only acting, they are also creating. Welcome to Copyright Clearance's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. When a trio of Draconis players living in the greater Boston area moved from the New England woods where they go LARPing to the online digital environment of independent publishing, they found another adventure awaited them. In the world of the Violet Thorn, alliances are made and broken, and the imaginary becomes real. And just like the LARP, indie publishing turns out to require creativity, collaboration, and commitment to a shared world. David Davis, Jeremy Petrovich, and Bruno Tremontosi join me now. Welcome to Beyond the Book, gentlemen.
Hello there, Chris.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Thank you, Chris.
Well, we're looking forward to chatting with you. We're going to learn about LARPing, if we don't already know about it, but we're going to learn more about creating an editorial team, the indie way, looking at how independent publishing has brought the three of you together in much the same way that it has in the games you play. And we'll tell people about each of you individually. Dave Davis is a colleague of mine here at Copyright Clearance Center, has been on Beyond the Book before. David, good to talk to you.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
Dave Davis is also a frequent contributor to the Copyright Clearance Center Velocity of Content blog, and he's also an independent author of fiction and nonfiction. Jeremy Petrovich joins us as well. Jeremy, welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
Good to have you here, Jeremy. Jeremy has a PhD in neurobiology and currently is an editor at Wiley Publishing. He's a lifelong reader of fantasy and a player of tabletop games. He started at Draconis as an NPC. That's a non-player character, one of those actors who put on the interactive play, and eventually he became part of the directing staff. And then also joining us is Bruno Tremontosi. Bruno, welcome to Beyond the Book.
Thanks for having us, Chris.
Bruno Tremontosi is a fitness expert, software developer, and the originator and ultimate instigator of much that came to be known as Draconis Gaming. He is proficient with the Adobe suite of publishing tools and is responsible for most of the art in the book. And this is a program about publishing, so we want to focus on that, gents, but it is helpful, I think, for the audience to understand a little bit more about live-action role-playing. Did I get it right? It is a bit like Dungeons & Dragons come to life. Does that seem fair?
This is Bruno. Yeah, I would say that it's the way I like to explain to people is generally more like a murder mystery evening. So if you were to go in a murder mystery dinner type of thing, the play happens around you. Whereas within our game and environment, you can actually influence the story a little bit more. So it's not just you're observing something interesting and it's a cool story that you get to participate in. With us, you actually get to influence that story and make, you know, send it in ways that you might nobody really expect. So we get surprised pretty often by the things people do.
And you mentioned the dinner theater thing. That's a great analogy. Dinner takes place over the course of three courses. How long do these kinds of games usually run? Over the course of a weekend?
So it's generally a weekend thing for us, Friday night to Sunday afternoon type of thing. And then we have multiple games per year where the story arc continues from game to game. So you can come in for one of those particular weekend events. But if you were to stay for longer, there's a whole story arc that is, it's basically a novel split into around 15 to 20 events. So, you know, our last event, our last arc went, 20, it was 18 events, actually 18 episodes. So, yeah, that's.
All right. Well, and Jeremy Petrovich, I want to ask you about this because you confess to be a lifelong reader of fantasy and a player of tabletop games. This is taking a lot of those elements that you find in fantasy novels and in those kinds of games, tabletop games, and then putting it in the woods, right? It must be a way to really kind of live out some of the imaginative experiences you've had.
Yeah, absolutely. And that actually is a primary draw for a lot of the people that come to the game. Is a lot of the people that come are readers of fantasy, tabletop people have played tabletop games, you know, especially Dungeons and Dragons, given our setting. And so it does give them that chance to move off the table, to spend an entire weekend just kind of fully immersed in the experience, and you know, basically acting out all those things that you were doing on pen and paper, but now you're out there with a suit of armor that you've put on and you know, a sword that you've got.
Well, I want to understand a little bit better about this evolution that you had, Jeremy. You went from being a NPC, as we described, a non-player character. Those are the folks that kind of set the story in motion, if I'm right. And eventually you became part of the directing staff. So how did playing evolve for you? Tell us a little bit about that.
So I primarily started at the game solely because Bruno asked me to come. I've been friends with Bruno for a long time and played games with him. I haven't done that much LARPing before myself. And so came and he handed me an NPC role that he thought I'd be good at. And I ended up doing that same role for, 3.5 years?
Yeah.
That role was incredible. It was a lot of fun. And then further down the road, you know, we kind of molded it a bit more. So that is what kind of led me towards ending up being part of the group that was running the game, was that NPC role became, you know, important to the players, important to myself as well. And so it became a natural fit that I would then help out, you know, kind of directing some of the story of the game, you know, along with Bruno, and just kind of driving things forward.
All right. So David Davis, we have chatted with you and Beyond the Book before about some of your contributions for the Velocity of Content blog. So you enjoy writing. You also enjoy this LARPing. But why now move from the playing to the creating? And how important is it for you to have this this book, Arcanum Draconis?
That's interesting, Chris. I started playing relatively late. I had played D&D more or less forever, like since it came out. I have a cousin that invited me to Draconis, to this game. He said, it's great. You're going to love it. Try it. So I did. And we had a blast. I played one consistent character through the episodes that I attended. And after that, we sort of had a gap year when we weren't meeting. I said to these guys, wouldn't it be fun to go to the players and say, tell your story. You guys can write. Some of you are English majors. I mean, let's give it a try. We'll put something together, and it'll be cool. I had a little bit, as you said, experience writing fiction, and this is an extension of that. So that's basically how we got to it.
And it's a shared world, but this is also a way for you three and for the other contributors to the book, to the anthology, really, to share your experiences, to share your fantasies, your imaginative creation of this new world. So there's a lot of sharing going on. How important is that sense of collaboration, that this is, in a way, rather like a big studio movie? They're not the creation of a single individual, but there's a whole set full of people.
That was new to me for this round of putting a book together. The idea being that It's a shared world that we all participated in. So each point of view in each story is from the person, the character of and the person that wrote it, but they need to be knitted together into the common experience of this world. Jeremy did a lot of that on the consistency side.
All right. Well, let's talk about what you three have learned about independent publishing. You all have different roles in this. So David, just to continue with you for a moment. So you were contributing as a writer, but also doing a lot of editing and working with people who their first job, maybe even their second job, isn't writing. So how much of a challenge is that to put an anthology like this together to give it some kind of editorial quality?
We worked, for some were easier than others, but everybody was really cooperative. And it's actually people you know, right? People you've slogged around killing goblins with. And so there's an element of trust. And there is, there's the aspect of, well, the editorial staff has a sense of the whole, and we want this to fit in. We want this to be the best story from you that it can be. And each of the writers was highly cooperative on that, and I think we got to a good place.
Well, Bruno Tremontozzi, you've done a lot of work with Adobe and their variety of publishing tools, and you helped to create the design for the book and the cover art and so forth. Independent publishing, I think people mostly come to it in the Kindle or through some other reader. So they're really devouring these books the way they devour, you know, fantasy books or whatever. But design still plays a role. It gives people a sense of professionalism. Maybe it makes it just easier, a better experience. Talk about that. Why is in independent publishing design important to you?
Well, I'd say that one of the major factors that contributed to the way I designed the book, for me, came from my desire to make it a book that I would want to pick up and read. So I've been, you know, just like Jeremy, I've been reading fantasy books since I was 12. You know, I grew up on the genre. And when you're looking for a new series, one of the things that makes it easy to pick out is when you're walking through a bookstore, I just look for covers that are interesting, right? So that's one of the things that's nice about walking through a physical bookstore that I still enjoy. So, you know, I walk through, I'll look at that cover and say, wow, that cover looks really cool. What might be in there? Then you read the back of the blurb on the back and say, is that something that I might be interested in? And so my first take was from that perspective to say, all right, let me come up with a book that is interesting to look at initially, just grabs your eye. And then after that, tells a little bit about, you know, in picture form, the story that you're going to tell. And that's what we tried to do. It's certainly my first book cover, so I'm no expert in this. I'm sure there are many ways it could be better. You know, that was basically where that was my first shot at that. And then within the formatting of the interior of the book, you know, consistency throughout the book was one thing we were really trying to maintain with regards to, you know, an image or something. Like, we've got an image at the beginning of every chapter that is basically the logo from our game. And that's always like 8 lines down from the top, 3 lines from the beginning. So those kinds of consistency adds a secondary level of professionalism, or at least that the look of professionalism. And that's what we were trying to look at. There are a lot of books that we looked at written by other authors. The books were fantastic. But maybe they didn't take the time to really dial those in. I think those are important factors with regards to consistency and look.
Well, Jeremy Petrovich, I want to bring you in because Bruno was mentioning about continuity and consistency. And I guess that was your role in this editorial project, probably a lot like the role you played at first as an NPC and then in the directing staff. Talk about that importance of continuity.
So as Dave and Bruno could definitely tell you, my continuity for me is kind of almost an OCD hang-up. Where I've developed a fairly strong capacity in our game story that I can remember things that happened about, you know, 6 events ago. And if somebody comes up with a contradiction to that, I end up pointing it out, you know, and then everybody either gets mad at me or is like, oh, okay, that's great.
Well, listen, you should have been hanging around that Game of Thrones set when the Starbucks cup was there, right?
So, yeah, for me, part of what I ended up taking on in the book, and, you know, it was definitely assisted by Dave and Bruno, so it wasn't purely a sole operation by myself, was just ensuring that in people's stories, especially because we have a couple of characters that show up in multiple stories, that you weren't doing something in your story that completely contradicted how that person was in another story. And so it's just maintaining the continuity that way, you know, keeping characters kind of intact across stories. Just in general, like the world, like you weren't, you know, breaking some rule that we have in the world, you know, even if it's an unwritten rule somewhere, just, you know, like a general aspect of the world, like, you know, nobody showing up with a cell phone, nobody showing up with a Starbucks cup, things like that.
And again, that's about the reader. You don't want to jar the reader, take them out of the fantasy experience and make them sort of aware of the book as this artifact.
Yeah. I mean, it's critically important, the whole, because that's one of the things we also stressed at the game, was the whole sense of immersion. And you're staying in game the entire time you're there, and you want that also in the book. You don't want something that's going to jar you out of the narrative, where you're then having to question, okay, well, who's right in this situation? Is it the person from this story? Is it the person from this story? even though you realize they're being told from different points of view.
All right. Well, David, so I want to ask you about the choices you made in going to Kindle and using Kindle as the publishing platform for the book. There are lots of options out there for independent publishers. You've looked at them closely. Why go with this?
There's a lot to like about the Amazon Kindle solution. I found it easy and workable. I'm not an expert at these things. I need tools that work and are intuitive. My experience had been with it before, as you know, when we talked about my earlier short story collection. And I just pitched it to these guys as going with that as a known, not an upfront dollar cost, and the tools work. That's principally it. With the paperback, you get distribution via Amazon, and with Kindle, you get it out there, and Prime subscribers can take a look at it for nearly nothing.
All right. So we are looking at a copy of the book here in our studio table, and we see Bruno's cover art. It's a nice, striking blue. Feels like a real book in one's hand. What's next? You've got the book, but you have to start to share it with the rest of the world. That means those onerous tasks for independent publishers of promotion and marketing. Okay, so what are you guys going to do about that? Bruno, any thoughts on how to help the world find this book?
I think the first thing we did was reach out to our local family and friends network, you know, on social media, things like that. But I think beyond that, once the 7 books that they'll buy have been purchased, you're going to want to reach out to your community. So for us, our community are all the players that play in our game, friends of them, friends of theirs. And then, we also will be marketing it out to, we're going to have a booth at like Boston Comic Con for the game, and we'll have the book there available as well. I just think the book and the game complement each other well, and it's a way for us to illustrate that we're established, that we've got a lot of lore that goes into games. A lot of times when people want to play a game like ours, they want to know what's the world like, and there's a one pager that sums that up. For us, we have literally a book in addition to the entire series. So marketing that would be via, on our website, with links to social media. We'll be, having the booths. And then from there, it's a matter of, I read a bunch of material that seemed to illustrate that the more books you have on Amazon, the higher your ranking goes. Getting reviews from all of the people that read our books are important. That helps your ranking and your search ranking. So, it's a multi-pronged attack. It's sort of, throw it all at the wall and see what sticks.
It's a real commitment, though. And Jeremy Petrovich, last word on that from you. You come out of publishing, a different kind of publishing, of course, Wiley Publishing with your PhD in neurobiology. You're talking about scholarly and scientific publishing. But you understand that the job isn't over once something is published. There's a whole post-publication responsibility. And what are you going to be taking on yourself for this book?
So myself, I've been, working with Bruno and Dave to think about the social media promotion. Bruno had mentioned the booth at Comic-Con. So working on that. I have been actually spreading it around colleagues at work who are also at the publishing company I'm with, deal with, non-academic books, things like that. So I've been kind of showing it to some of them to try to gauge interest and see what channels they have or recommendations they might have on how to promote things.
Great. Well, we have enjoyed chatting with this editorial team and game-playing team. We've been talking today and Beyond the Book with my colleague from Copyright Clearance Center, Dave Davis. David, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Chris. It was a joy.
And Jeremy Petrovich, he's editor at Wiley Publishing and deeply involved here in the Draconis game and as well with development of this anthology. Jeremy, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having us.
And then finally, Bruno Tremontosi, who did a lot of the art and the publishing design for Arcanum. I want to say it the Latin way, but I'll say it the Boston way, Arcanum Draconis. Bruno Tremontosi, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center. Our co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. Subscribe to the program wherever you go for podcasts and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. The complete Beyond the Book podcast archive is available at beyondthebook.com. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening and join us again soon on CCC's Beyond the Book.